Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. You know, I'm glad my housekeeper is coming today because I am so stuffed up I can hardly talk. Maybe I'm allergic to the studio dog. I don't know. Very well could be. That's a comment that Tony made to me
Welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. Iris said, make sure you're not... The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
I don't think I am, Tony. Anyway, having said that, Jimmy, both John and Out of the Box commented on the maintenance factor with the weapons that the United States gave to Ukraine. I know you commented on that, but just to make it more public, I'd like you to continue that comment. And I want to also add the fact that the U.S. has given significantly more aid to the Ukraine as of yesterday. I'd like you to touch on that, too.
Yeah, so they made relevant points, maintenance, equipment, parts, and everything for the aircraft, certainly for the Taliban, would be very difficult to manage. I will say that the bigger revelation is the $84 billion. But at the same time, there's a high probability that there will be maintenance, there will be parts, and they may crash a few of these aircraft, but there is an opportunity to run them. Actually, some of them are pretty simple to run, especially the surveillance aircraft and the equipment that were on them, very sensitive. My guess is, and this is a guess, but it's actually being validated by some information out there, the Chinese are very involved. And they may help them. They may help them manufacture parts. They may help train them on maintenance. They may help them actually run these operations. And there are probably contractors that will do it. And I just want to remind people that the Iranians still fly F-14 Tomcats that we sold to them in the 1970s and have had a weapons ban on them since the end of the 70s, late early 80s. But they continue to fly those aircraft because somebody's willing to pay and actually maintain them. But the bigger issue is really just a waste. And these are valid points. What did we do in 20 years besides throw trillions of dollars, a whole lot of blood, a whole lot of suffering both to the Afghans and to American soldiers for nothing, to run away? And I think that's just incredibly damaging the credibility. And I believe the reason why we're seeing problems in Ukraine is directly related to showing that type of weakness through this administration in Afghanistan that allowed Putin to feel comfortable that we would not have pushback.
Right. That's a very good point. That point, by the way, addresses a point that Irish Tony made a couple of weeks ago, kind of indirectly, but it does address the point. Actually, maybe I would have to say directly. Elon Musk offering $54 a share for Twitter when it's trading at $45 a share. Boy, there's a deal, Jimmy. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, I'm curious if the wokesters on the board of Twitter are going to accept the offer or not. The idea here that Elon Musk is perpetuating is that he's going to bring free speech back to Twitter. My guess is he'd probably pretty quickly bring back Donald J. Trump, who had about 50 to 80 million followers on Twitter before. Yeah. That would really upset the apple cart and really be a boon for the world to hear. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'll tell you, the idea that some of these tech companies can continue to silence voices and take away information from people is getting pretty clear that it's corrupt and very much skewed towards left progressive ideology. So seeing Elon Musk step up for free speech, I can appreciate that. And I hope he's successful. But more importantly, I hope that he actually stands by his word and it's not just a charade.
No, you're talking about Elon Musk?
Correct.
I got a feeling he's very definitely the type of individual who would stand by his word 100% of the time.
Yeah. He's being hammered on leftist media outlets, MSNBC, CNN, some of these pundits that are calling him a white racist because of his time when he was, a young guy in South Africa.
Yeah.
So when they're resorting to calling someone a racist for trying to have free speech, you know they've lost the argument, which is a positive move.
Well, Elon Musk is a very interesting man. He's going to go down in history as being perhaps one of the most influential men of this particular century. There's no question about that. Jimmy, anything else you want to give us an update on the Ukraine?
So the continued repositioning of Russian forces to the eastern corridor area is ongoing. They're doing some severe damage to many locations. Mariupol, in particular, a lot of the Ukrainian defenders there are running out of ammo and food. Some of them are giving up. But more importantly, the Russians have been moving civilian populations into Russia, into camps.
Yeah.
That's pretty disturbing. Here's the bigger issue, and this is probably the biggest one that many people are just starting to hear about. Since the Russian invasion, Putin has made some very strong statements against NATO expansion, including Sweden and Finland, who have been neutral.
Yeah.
Partly because their location, the physical proximity to the Russian border. What he has done is created fear in those democratically run countries that they are willing now to actually apply and actually look for NATO membership.
And that has happened, yeah.
Well, no, but it looks like that the Finns are actually submitting their application, and the Swedes are talking about it very rapidly. So, and then what's happening today is Putin is making another nuclear threat against them. And, there's a certain point where your credibility continues to diminish if you make these kinds of bold, crazy nuclear threat arguments. I don't think it's going to push them away. I think it's going to push them closer because ultimately they're looking for group protection. And that is what NATO has provided for members in Europe.
Well, I have to say, if Putin went nuclear against Finland and Sweden, we do have World War III. There's absolutely no question about that. That's pushing the envelope just a little bit too far.
Yeah, I think this is it's a irrelevant threat. I think it's an incredible push. I think he's doing everything he can and thinking that it will continue to work. But the reality is he can't self-destruct. And when NATO combined is actually organized and has leadership, there's no competition. Even with the nuclear threat and hypersonic missiles, it's not something any of us want to see happen. And I'm not going to argue that I want to see people push these brinksmanship issues.
Right.
But he's the one that's pushing the brinksmanship. Vladimir Putin is the one that's making these threats. And if you're going to bow to those types of threats, which are probably unrealistic, then you've basically, again, I wrote in the blog, when a predator attacks you, if you stop and lay down and submit, very rarely is it going to walk away without you being dead. So you better fight back to win. Now, I certainly do not want to see an escalation on this issue in Ukraine to a bigger, broader war. And there are a lot of people out there, I think, on probably in many areas that would like to see that happen. But Putin here is playing a very, very dangerous game. And I think in the end, as I've said from the beginning, he lost before he started on this. And now he's getting very desperate.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I agree with that. I don't think he's going to be able to push it very much farther than this. He's got the whole world against him in Ukraine. And I think that he may end up being a bit of a loser because he may lose, as a result of this, he may lose any influence that he has in Hungary at this point in time.
Yeah, I think he's going to lose influence all throughout the world. The one place that he's still getting a little support, and I think CFS put up a good comment the other day, the Chinese are selling dollars and they're getting ready to trade in rubles as well. They're looking at opportunities for this. The problem for the Russians is in the long term, just because China is your short-term friend, it doesn't mean they're going to be your long-term enemy and destroy you as well. And right. That's the danger right now.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.
The problem is people have sat back and allowed it to happen. This administration, the regime that's in charge of the United States right now, could have done many things to avoid a lot of these complications. But no, they're actually making it worse in every aspect. The polling is showing it. Biden is not trusted. Is almost anything that the government says right now is being questioned, rightfully being questioned by almost everybody out there. And there's very few people that are still holding on support to the American leadership. It's absolutely dismal. Hispanic voters, black voters, they're actually leaving the Democratic Party in very large numbers. It's going to be very damning for the for the Democrats if they continue down this road. The problem is that we've got weak Republicans that are unwilling to actually take the right actions to bring us back
right.
out of debt and to basically put stability back in the system.
Right. Well, Jimmy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I think that in all the opinion polls, all the recent opinion polls, I don't think his approval rating in any category is anywhere near above 50%. Am I correct?
Oh, you're correct. They're all in the low 40s at best, in the 30s in many cases. His overall job approval rating from even leftist polling is way down in the 30s. He's having a really tough – these are the lowest – approval ratings that he's ever had, but it's actually getting worse because he, as I've said before, is not going to get smarter. He's not going to get more cognitively stronger. He's not going to get better decision-making process. And he's got an entire staff that continues to double, triple, quadruple down right. on fraudulent information when we're facing very major economic issues, border issues, domestic policy issues. They're just absolutely stupid, or they think they can control the vote. And if they think they can control the vote, that's criminal.
The progressives made a very big mistake picking him as their man. Jimmy, anything else you want to talk about?
Hey, no, I just hope that the world stays together. And again, I don't want to see this escalate. I think the brinkmanship's got to go. But at the same time, you can't let a predator just eat you, you know?
You watch, my friend. The world will pull together. Ladies and gentlemen, any comments? We're starting to get some really good ones. Thank you.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.